This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I've been in the right place, but it must have been the wrong time. My head is in a bad place, but I'm having such a good time.
Good morning, Georgia. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game,
92.9thegame.com.
Wanted to just throw that on briefly. We don't normally talk music, but we lost another voice in the world of music. A man, and he's one of those people associated with a city, with a region.
Yeah.
And that's Dr. John.
New Orleans.
Passed this past week, of course, connected with New Orleans and everything, Creole down there. So may he rest in peace.
Yeah.
Coming up in this 7 o'clock hour, one of the things as we talk about the NBA Finals, Sam and I have been trying to wrap our minds around one particular person who has done in the past what Kawhi Leonard is doing now with Toronto. That one person, and not coming into a situation like Kevin Durant did with Golden State. I mean, this one dude with not much around him, bringing that team.
Well,
to
there
the
is something
finals.
Around him.
Golden State had around.
Yeah,
KD.
But that's the key to having that type of player. Does he bring that out in those guys?
LeBron didn't have that in Miami. LeBron had Dwayne Wade and then Chris Bosh and Ray Allen came. So you had that. You can't compare him to that. You want to compare Kevin Garnett going to Boston? Yeah, well, he had Ray Allen too there, and he had Paul Pierce. Okay, I'm trying to think, and then
but those guys weren't going to win it without him.
Be that as it may, there is nobody who stands like Kawhi is standing in Toronto with the players he had around him. Yes, he coached, he played those guys. That's not the right phrase. He brought their game up. He ascended their game, which is what you want. He made them better. All right. And Kyle Lowry was already there. He was already a great player, along with DeMar DeRozan.
And a lot of people wondered how it was going to be when DeRozan left. Yeah.
And listen, you talk about the job this GM did. Get rid of Dwayne Casey too. Get rid of the coach. Coach of the year, was he?
After one coach of the year.
Coach of the year and a top player. Got rid of both of them. Pushed all his chips to the center of the table. And here they are one game away from an NBA title. Again, whether it's basketball, football, who's that one guy that came and changed the organization that had never been there before?
And my thing is this. What other team in the NBA is at that point where they get that one player that puts them over the top and they get there? I think Denver and someone who plays with that team was here in the Kia Studios this week.
I bumped into Paul Millsap this week.
I think Denver is ripe for that. I think Denver is a team that if they get a player like that, they're over the top and they win it. You know, I think they could. Milwaukee could be that too. I think Milwaukee has what they need. Coach Bud just got out coached. I think Milwaukee has what they need, and
he's been in the playoffs before.
Yep.
He's been on that team a minute. I'm talking about one guy whose license said Texas last year and said Canada, Toronto this year, and came to a team and in that one year has done what he did. Whether it's basketball, football, baseball, I'm hard pressed. I talked about Verlander earlier. As we talked about baseball and his arrival in Houston. But Houston was still pretty good.
He solidified
that pitching staff.
This year we're waiting to see if they're making all these great predictions about Cleveland. Is Beckham the player that gets them over the top? I'm just saying. I mean, you're talking about
a guy who's a special player. Is Beckham to football what Kawhi Kawhi is to the NBA. You got to ask yourself.
That we won't know until they start playing the games in Cleveland.
See, now here's a name I thought was equal.
We know what he did with the Giants, but he's in a situation, a lot of an infusion of young talent and excitement. They got the quarterback after I don't know how many quarterbacks they tried up there. They got one they're going to stick with. Does he come in and be the guy that helps to get that team? First of all, they should make the playoffs because I think like the division's pretty watered down this year. Look for Cleveland to make the playoffs. The people who are predicting they're going to be a threat to win, I don't think they're a threat to go to the Super Bowl, but Could he be that type player for that situation?
Again, they got a Heisman Trophy quarterback, right? They got some guys on there. They got Chubb running the ball back there. They got some guys, Jarvis Landry. They got some talented players. They got some all-stars on that team already. This, to me—
They haven't accomplished, though.
No, they haven't.
Toronto had accomplished.
Here's the thing.
They had accomplished some things. I mean, they
yes, well, they had. Yeah, no, you're right. They made the playoffs.
Yeah.
And Cleveland's in people's back. They are on their way. Now— You know, whether they can keep this team together and keep all those skill position guys on that team and keep them in salary, I don't know. But anyway, we reached out to folks. Let's see who's giving some input here. David's in Tucker. David, welcome to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning.
Welcome back, guys.
How you doing?
Thank you.
Hey, quickly, Irvin Magic Johnson, 1979.
You know, that. Here's the thing. And for a game, I would say, yeah, but they had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. All right, he landed on that team, and now you can talk about what he did in Game 6 with Kareem going back and then Magic winning it.
Yeah, but you know what, David, I get what you're saying because he came in and brought an infusion
energy
for that team.
Yeah, well,
Kareem wasn't the same Kareem once he got there, right?
And you're right. Yeah, you're right.
If you watch the documentary about Kareem, he even admitted, like, when he came to the Lakers, people forgot he won a title with
Milwaukee.
Yeah, but what happened the first 3 or 4 years when he came to the Lakers, they was good, but they ain't go over the top. But once they signed that man for my home state, Irvin Magic Johnson, it was game time then.
Am I talking to a Michigander?
Yep, that's how they say it.
All right, man.
Hey, y'all keep up the great work, man. I won't give y'all a history lesson one day about basketball.
Oh, you do that, David. I appreciate it.
We're going to hold you to that, all right?
Me, Shaggy.
Do that. Yeah, you would know the correct way to say that, too.
But listen, I'll say the other side of the coin. I say it wasn't so much what Magic did as it was what Larry Bird did. Larry Bird, what do you have? He had Cornbread Maxwell, and that was it on that team. And those guys were fighting amongst each other, that Celtics team back in the day. He came in, and not only that, Magic had got to do his stuff in the West, which wasn't all that powerful then. This dude went up against Larry Bird and Moses, and he had to fight those first couple years in Boston. So if you're going to go back that far, Larry Bird changing around Boston, I say, is more apt than what Magic did. Because he didn't have an all-time great.
Really, to me, really kind of the same. Because there's two great franchises that had a lot of success. You had
no, the Celtics had success. Lakers didn't have much success. Yep. They kept running up against the Celtics and getting beat.
But that's the thing. I mean, you had a player like Kareem, like you said, you know, he's going, you know, he's winning and playing well. But the addition of Magic Johnson brought that infusion of some excitement that really, really extended his career.
To me, you know what this would be like? This would be like Mike Trout being traded to Kansas City and taking Kansas City to the World Series.
Or maybe Kansas City taking him to the World Series.
I take it back. A better analogy. the Mariners right now. He goes to the Mariners. Mariners have never been to the World Series, correct?
Right.
There you go.
Okay.
That would be like Mike Trout going there. Can you argue that Kawhi Leonard is to the NBA what Mike Trout is to Major League Baseball?
Well, we know that with Mike Trout already. I don't think we knew Kawhi Leonard was a great player. We didn't know to this magnitude.
I believe he was top 2 or 3 player in the league.
When he was in San Antonio?
No, as he was leaving San Antonio with that injury, he showed that he was an MVP in the finals. He had already shown that the big stage and the bright light doesn't affect him. And what you didn't see was the rest of his game because, you know, he was playing in Pop's system. I believe now he got to spread his wings in Toronto because he almost had to.
Right.
It's kind of like what Russell Westbrook had. I can't have a hard time saying that dude's name.
Westbrook.
Westbrook and Harden had to do this season to carry their teams. Harden putting up 18, 30-point games in a row and all that stuff this past season. So I think it was something like that. But this is a unique situation. We need to stop and pause and look at what this guy has done this year for that organization, especially since we all kind of believe he's going to leave.
Is that guaranteed?
Nothing's guaranteed, but everybody believes he's going. Yeah, he wants to go home to California, whether it's the Lakers or the Clippers.
There's also something I think if he can come back with most of this team intact, that he stays and doesn't maybe just a one year deal. To stay there and, you know, a lot of it has to do with—
No, why would he do a one-year deal? No, get that max contract and get some control. That was his problem in San Antonio. He didn't have control. You know, he was playing in Pop's system, and he did what he had to do. You know, his only option was to play it out the way he did. Most people wouldn't do that. Last person we saw that kind of threw his arms up in the air and acted like Pontius Pilate was what's his name from the was Le'Veon Bell, who left $14 million on the table.
Yeah.
Right? So
he had an interesting week.
Didn't he though too?
He had a very interesting week.
Well, you want to go down that road or you want to finish
I'm
up
just,
with
I'm
what?
Just, I'm just saying he had an interview. You brought him up and man, that was very interesting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Some people just felt like he needed to be, you know, some things need to be lifted and they lifted him.
Anyway, do you see somebody else, Sam and Greg Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game? 92.9 The Game, hit the reset button.
Yes.
Going back to that player that changed the organization. Okay, so as we sit and wonder about this, man, listen, one thing you haven't done today is stretch your wings about this French Open. Yeah. You know, you got nobody left in this. I mean, we're looking at Joker right now playing. Nadal got past Federer, but.
Well, that's to set up the men's final. And they had some rain this week over there. They had some rain this week that set some things back. And on the men's side right now, you got Dominic Thiem and Novak Djokovic. They're finishing up a match that was stopped by rain yesterday. And so they're in the fourth set. They're playing right now. And Djokovic is down two sets to one. Dominic Thiem is supposed to be that what's next player on the tour. He and Nicholas and Tsitsipas, they're the two guys that seem to be the next thing that are going to crack that top five as far as tennis goes. And Djokovic, everyone kind of wanted to pencil him into the final against Nadal. May not happen.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, Nadal has just cruised. He beat Federer yesterday. And I think that was Federer's last time at Roland Garros. He didn't play the clay courts at all last year. He swept him in three straight sets. Federer was trying everything. He was trying slowing things down, trying all kind of different stuff, wide angles. No answers yesterday for Nadal.
I'm going to say something that's not going to sit well with you, but in my book, Nadal wins this. He passes Federer as far as the all-time greatest.
That's his surface,
I understand that, but he has beaten Federer on grass. Federer has never beaten him on clay. He's got the tournaments, and he's going to be sitting two behind? He's going to be sitting two behind Federer as far as all-time? Won't this be his 18th?
I think so, yep.
All right, so, yeah, I give him the lead. I give it to him straight up.
I'd say we wait till we get to Wimbledon and see what happens there.
We're going to talk.
That might happen there.
Coming up next, we're going to talk Braves and their move this past week. Getting Keuchel in here and seeing what's happening. He's going to be pitching tonight, and we are going to talk to somebody who may be up there.
Absolutely. That's coming up. David Friedlander from Gwinnett Daily Post. We're going to talk about Keuchel pitching tonight in the area. You continue with us on this game day Saturday morning.
Thank you.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at 92.9thegame.com.
Smoked into right. That's going to get down. That's going to get up against the wall. And look at Dansby fly. Chugging around third. Here he comes, helmet fly. Freeman an RBI double at 6-0.
Sports Radio 99 The Game and 99TheGame.com. Chip Carey on the call last night. The Braves hammering out a 7-1 win over the Marlins.
Should have been 7-0.
Yeah, 7-1 win. Great pitching by Mike Soroka. Time leading by Freddie Freeman and Ronald Acuna Jr. And as the Braves play in Florida, the focus for the Braves now turns back to the Metro Atlanta area into Gwinnett for Cool Ray Field tonight. We expect to see a new addition on display. And the guy who's going to cover it all joins us now on the WadeFor.com hotline from the Gwinnett Daily Post, David Friedlander. David, good morning to you.
Morning, David.
How's it going?
Doing great. We're going to ask you all the excitement. This happens this week.
Weather permitting, of course.
Yes.
A 6 yeah. o'clock start tonight. But thoughts about him, and you've seen this happen with quite a few players who they sent up there. What do you think you're going to get to see from Keuchel? What have you heard about him, and what are you ready to see?
Well, we know what kind of pitcher he is. After we've seen him over the years, we're going to hopefully going to see a lot of ground balls because that's his MO. What we actually see, I mean, who knows? He hasn't. He's supposedly been doing some sim games throughout this whole sitting out, waiting for a team to pick him up. But the truth is, you just don't know until he actually gets out there.
How long do you think he would start? Any idea?
I asked Damon Berryhill, the Gwinnett manager, that last night, and at that point, you know, the Braves had not spoken to him because he was actually managing the Stripers game when the announcer when the announcement came that they'd signed Keuchel. But he said he hadn't spoken with him. I do know from various reports that Keuchel himself has said he's been going, he's been throwing these sim games every 5 days. I believe they've got him to like 7 innings. He had mentioned something about maybe 5 or 6 innings, but again, there's really no way to know until we get to the ballpark tonight, get some sort of idea of what they're going to try, what the plan is for tonight.
Yeah, David, this is, again, David Freelander joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, talking about Braves' acquisition this past week, getting Dallas Keuchel. If you subscribe to the theory that batters have the advantage coming out of spring training, I think the good news is that this is all happening prior to the All-Star break, which is, for me, the jump-off point when I start to assess teams. But how many, and of course, the team around him has something to do with this, but how long do you think it's going to take this guy to get up to a midseason form?
That's a very good question. Who really knows? We've got it really depends with different people here. I think the good news is with Keuchel is he's not the type of pitcher who necessarily relies on velocity, for one thing. So, you know, physically he should be okay, but if you look at one of the big things we're going to try and see with Keuchel tonight is command. Where, you know, is he putting the ball where he wants to? And that comes back to, like I said, ground ball. We'll see, you know, get a pretty good idea. I remember a few years ago when Tim Hudson made a rehab start in Gwinnett. It was one of those things where, you know, there were some base hits that were being hit off him, but they were all on the ground. So, I mean, you don't necessarily look at results in terms of, you know, hits and whatnot. Just, you know, where, if he's putting the ball where he wants to put the ball, that'll be a big tell right now.
You see a long-term relationship with Dallas in this team?
Honestly, I really don't know, because you got so many good young arms, not only in Gwinnett, but you look further down, especially in Mississippi right now, they've got a ton of them. And this is also one of those situations where Keuchel may be kind of showcasing himself for the more long term. So we'll see. Time's going to tell on that, because nobody really knows what anybody's thinking except for themselves right now, and nobody's really talking about that.
Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline with David Friedlander from Gwinnett Daily Post. He is social. You can follow him on Twitter. He is a very social person. DFried_GDP. Is it DFRIED_? GDP. That's on Twitter if you want to follow this man. Look, you mentioned the young arms, and seeing that the Braves are going for the starter rather than the closer, that right. Brings the other question. Seems like they're going to go with what they have as far as the bullpen goes. Do you feel like there's someone there? You got A.J. Minter was sent down. You feel like there's someone there in Gwinnett possibly that's going to join this staff later on to help cement that closer role?
Well, yeah. You mentioned Minter up front. He actually they only threw him for one hitter last night. And I think the original plan was for him to throw one inning, but he came on in the middle of an inning when Grant Dayton kind of tweaked something, and Dayton had looked good up until that point. But so Dayton was another one, you know, being a lefty who might have, but we'll have to see what happens with the injury situation. Damon didn't really mention what the situation was with Dayton last night, so we'll have to see. But, yeah, Minter has looked pretty good since they sent him down. I think he may have gotten some, you know, some things mechanically worked out and maybe gotten some confidence back. But again, I would look definitely for him. I know they've been high on what Chad Sabatka's been doing from the right-hand side since he's been sent down the last time. So I would look at those two guys in particular. As far as relief is concerned now, you know, some of the starters have been looking better. Bryce Wilson's been looking better as of late. Colby Allard just had an outstanding start on Thursday night. We went 8 innings and gave up just one run. So you know, if there's another need for another starter that they don't want to go outside the organization, those two guys might be in the mix. But as far as relief, I would think Minter and if he's healthy, Grant Dayton from the left side or Sabatka from the right side.
Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline with David Friedlander. He keeps eye on all things Gwinnett and the first place Gwinnett Stripers. Remember, they are in first place. Despite having a certain player called up, you got to see Austin Riley up there earlier this season. You think he had the stuff to come over to the big league club and keep ripping the cover off the ball the way he's done since he's been up?
Well, yeah, not like what he has been. I mean, it was clear from the first couple of weeks of the season, particularly those last, say, 2 weeks, that he was ready. At that point, there was really no point in just keeping him down there, especially when the situation opened up with Emser Inciarte getting hurt. So, I mean, at that point, they had to get him up and get a look at him, and I mean, it's just been incredible. I saw him a lot of last year, that he looked pretty good. I think he hit something like 286 in his stay in Gwinnett last year. And he'd gotten off to a really good start, kind of fell into a lull, and then all of a sudden it clicked. And those last 2 weeks were incredible. But I don't think anybody foresaw him just dominating the way he has. Last night notwithstanding, of course, but he's been working on a lot of mechanical things. He like a lot of the hitters down in Gwinnett, have just raved about the hitting coach up there, Bobby Magallanes, who has just been apparently been making a connection with just about every hitter. But he in particular talked about staying the focus, staying up the middle and to the right side. Of course, he's done a share of pulling, but he's really kind of kept the focus up the middle to the right side, and that's really helped. Not only, square up a lot of balls, but also just cut down on all the strikeouts. He still has his share, mind you, and is going to, but that was the big thing. The whole thing coming in out of spring training was to cut down the strikeouts. That would be the tell when he was ready, and he's obviously shown it.
Hey, speaking of Austin Riley, David, I want to get your thoughts on how confident are you, because this is the wait and see that I have, of Austin making the adjustments that the league is going to make toward him. Yes, he's hit the ground running and set this Braves organization on fire with the way he's performed, but you know that teams are going to make the adjustments. So having said that, he then is going to have to adjust his game, and are you confident in what you've seen that he'll be able to do that at the major league level?
Absolutely, and just speaking to him, he certainly says all the right things, and that's a good starting point right there. He knows that in he's definitely one who's going to listen to people who give him advice. So I think he'll be fine. You look at the same thing with Ronald Acuna. He ran through a rough spot here in the last couple of weeks, and he's really looks like, as of certainly from last night and even a couple nights before, he's starting to come out of it. So I think he's going to be fine.
Yep. Tonight, 6 o'clock, Cool Ray Field, weather permitting. Dallas Keuchel, new addition to the Braves, will take the mound and go to work with the Gwinnett Stripers. And David Friedlander, we thank you for giving us a little preview of what we expect to see. Hope the rain stays away.
Yeah.
I hope to see you up there this evening.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Dave.
All right.
Thank you.
That is David Friedlander of the Gwinnett Daily Post. And I like what he has to say about Austin Riley, because that's when we talked about him. Yeah, a guy can come up and start hitting the ball right away. But within time.
Got to make those adjustments, man.
So far.
Got to make those adjustments.
So far, so good.
We saw that. We have history of watching that. A guy up in the press box, Jeff Francoeur, went through that.
Yeah.
We watched Jason Hayward go through that. Sometimes those guys struggled.
Yeah.
They were going to set the world on fire. Not so much. So you wonder if we have the people in place with this Braves organization to help him make that adjustment. Because I'm telling you, this is what these guys do, meaning the other teams.
Oh,
they
absolutely
hear about some hotshot rookie coming up. This is what makes what Mike Trout has done and other guys. You shake your head and you hear the marbles going back and forth. They've continued with everybody reaching into their magic box, trying to throw them off their guard, and this guy just stays steady.
Yeah.
He just stays steady, man. And so I don't know. I wait and see, and I don't get worried about anything until after All-Star break.
And we got to see him make a couple of cool plays out of left field this week, too, which is the other thought we talk about. That's not his position. He's third base. And so that's the thing. He's playing left field because, you know, the way he hits, you want to get him out there. And that's the thing we haven't seen a lot of. The other side of him is the defensive player that he is. He showed us a little bit this week out in left field. So I've been watching for that. Right now, the things at the plate have been taking care of themselves.
Here's what you ask yourself. I didn't mean to talk over you. Sorry about that. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Here's my question to you. As we sit here on June, 8th?
Yep.
Everybody healthy. And given how this team is presently constructed, do you see these guys vying for a ring?
Yeah, I do. I do. The thing of it is, though, you bring in on a pitcher now that can help you when you face those people you have trouble with, like the Dodgers.
Right.
You know what I mean? And like Philadelphia. You ready to go to war with those guys. I like the way things are happening. We got to still anchor down that back part of the bullpen, though, and get that close.
All right, we'll see what happens. And I tend to agree with you. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
And now Marlins killer Freddie Freeman's coming up. And he ambushes the first one into the upper deck. It's 2-0. First inning. Ooh. Marlins killer. And Freeman, a tape measure shot. It's 2-0.
Good morning, Georgia. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam, it is Greg, and if you're just joining us, along with the NBA Finals and the Braves acquisition of Dallas Keuchel and some local stuff.
French Open.
Some of the other things that Sam and I have been talking about, or one of the other things that we were talking about, was this is, as Sam put it, the year of officiating.
Yes.
Well, let me change that just a bit. It's the year of bad officiating.
Well,
because let me just run down a couple things. And we're going to bring in a special guest here who, by the way, will be following us at the top of the hour. Okay, you got the NFC Championship.
Yep. Okay,
that non-call.
Right.
Bad call. You just talked a second ago, and I kept my mouth shut because you were saying tennis gets it right.
Yes.
Well, officiating stuck its nose in the Australian Open and gave Serena a game penalty when they shouldn't have. So that bothered a whole lot of people, right? Okay,
it did.
That officiating was a problem. Kentucky Derby, which you're still spitting about.
Well, that's just it. The Belmont Stakes is the day, and who cares?
Exactly.
You know,
March Madness, there was a couple double dribbles that weren't called,
The Auburn people are still living.
And on the heels of us, meaning Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, bringing you Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Finals tomorrow night, pregame 7:45, face-off at 8:20, we got to revisit Game 5. And throw that into the category of which we are talking about right now with bad officiating. And you and I are kind of handcuffed when it comes to talking hockey.
Yeah.
But since there was such a blatant bad call, who do we bring in?
Yes. Yes.
We bring in the voice of Atlanta hockey. When we want to know something, we go to Dan Kamal. Man, educate us. Let's first of all compare what happened Thursday night. And again, it was between the players.
Bozak and Achari.
Bozak tripped.
Pull the legs out from Noel Achari. Yes, Tyler Bozak.
That's usually a 5-minute?
No, that's 2 for slew footing.
Say that again?
It's tripping or slew footing. Slew footing is the act of taking your stick and ripping your opponent's skates out from under him, because now the opponent, depending on how he's falling, is pretty vulnerable to hitting his head on the ice, which is what Achari did.
Right.
So they've put special emphasis on calling slew footing / tripping.
What slew? Where does that word come from?
I don't know where the phrase comes from.
Is that some Northern Canadian word?
Yeah, I guess. Okay. I don't know.
But, I'll accept that.
But they are really focused on eliminating that from the game, which makes the non-call that much more mind-bursting. It is the referee's right there. You can see it in the replay as you're looking at Achari's face off to the right. There's the referee. Right there, sees the whole thing, doesn't make a call. The reason I think both Sam and Greg is that after Game 3, the Blues coach came out and whined about the officiating, saying, we're taking too many penalties, but I think some of those calls are a little iffy. I don't think this series is being called fairly. So the referees, instead of taking a blind eye and a deaf ear to those comments, I think took those comments to heart and have started to call the games differently. So to me, they've altered the entire complexion of the NHL.
But we hear
playoffs.
That all the time, though, when it comes to coaches working the ref's ear. Are you saying that where it normally doesn't happen? I mean, we
You've seen that some sports where you see a makeup call.
Listen,
sometimes in basketball, you know,
you see a makeup call in all sports.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, calls, if calls can go either way and a person with no dog in the fight says, yeah, that could have gone either way, then you pretty much have no argument. But when a call like that is not made, not only do you have an argument, it's putting a stain on the game. You could legitimately say that the referees have multiplied times four what happened in the Saints-Rams game. They did it to the Stars. Excuse me. Did it to the Stars. Did it to the Avalanche. Did it to the Blues when they were playing the Sharks. Now, the Blues survived that. And now they've done it to the Bruins. You could make a case that Dallas could have gone on to be the Western Conference finalist. You could have made a case that Colorado could have gone on. And now you can make a case if the Bruins lose, they could have won the cup, if not for the referees. That's too much getting in the way. Wow. I'm sorry.
Yeah. We needed to get an update on this. This is Dan Kamal joining Sam and Greg here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 92.9thegame.com if you're just joining us. Getting kind of a breakdown on what happened in game five of the Stanley Cup Finals with Dan Kamal, who is the biggest hockey fan we know. We, of course, are going to have game six for you. Did I say game five? Okay. Game six.
No, you're right. It happened in game five. We're having game six
Sunday. We are going to have game six for you tomorrow night, meaning Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You can hear it here. Pre-game 7:45, face-off at 8:20. But this was one of the most egregious non-calls in Stanley Cup Finals history, correct?
I would say so. Wow. Is the pollen season still going on? I would say so, but recent memory says yes. But I don't know. There were some pretty egregious ones probably back in the day.
Should they change some things? Is something they're doing differently? Is something they're not using? A resource is not available to them?
I guarantee you when the GMs and owners and everybody meets in June at the draft, I guarantee you officiating is going to be number one priority because it has been abysmal at the biggest stage and the biggest time for the NHL. And you can't have that. NFL, okay, one egregious incident, maybe several, but none as big as the Rams-Saints. But overall, not a bad season for the NFL. NHL, it's just been horrible.
Really?
Yeah, but that one call you talked about when the teams came in for the Super Bowl, Roger Goodell has his press conference, and what is everybody waiting to ask him about?
Yeah, no, that
officiating.
Altered. If I'm a Saints fan, I'm still livid about that, but you know, Achari did hit his head on the ice.
He did.
After
he went
the trip.
Down.
And he had to leave the game. So you're double whammy there. You don't get a call.
Yeah.
You don't get a power play. The winning goal is scored because of the non-call.
Yeah, that was
you lose a very valuable player.
Wow.
Yeah, that was
wow.
That was amazing. Anyway, Dan Kamal from the Sports Insiders, you're going to hear
what you got coming up? You got Dr. Dale. See Dr. Dale's
here. Dale's here.
Dr. D is here. I'm very curious. I want to hear his thoughts on Dallas Keuchel, how you sit for that long and how you accelerate the process of getting him to the majors, but keep him healthy. I want to hear about that. And we're going to talk to Mark Bradley, AJC columnist, about the Braves.
And ask him one more question. When is somebody going to come out and admit that whatever Kevin Durant is not telling us about the injury, what he believes it really is, especially where he grabbed the first time?
And I think Draymond Green owes Kevin Durant an apology.
Okay. Well,
we can't win without you, KD.
We'll talk about that top of the hour, man. That is Dan Kamal. Hey, a little tease there. Sam and I. I know you had some final thoughts before we get on out of here and give you guys another shot at some of these jobs, and I have a story to tell you during casting call. But these guys, NASCAR's racing this weekend,
In Michigan. We had somebody's calls from Michigan earlier. They're making up there. They're going to have qualifying coming up later on today, and we'll see how it is a IndyCar NASCAR weekend of sorts. We talked about the possibility that happening more. The truck series ran last night in Texas. The IndyCars are running in Texas this week. And Formula One and our friend Lewis Hamilton is north of the border in Canada this week.
Wouldn't you like to be, or at least hear about him and Odell Beckham hanging out?
Yeah, oh, man.
Odell missed those OTAs because he was hanging out with Lewis Hamilton. Where did they go? To Monaco? Was it Monte Carlo?
That was Monte Carlo. Grand Prix of Monaco.
Yeah,
what a place to goof off, right? Kill some time. One thing else you talking about with Dan talking about replay. I was up at Falcons OTAs this week. Of course, minicamp is coming up with no Julio and no Grady Jarrett. No, those people weren't there. They're supposed to be there, according to Coach Quinn. I didn't know that the in-house version of replays is not available to the league office. You know, if you're watching, if you're in Mercedes-Benz Stadium and you're watching up on the halo, there is an in-house version that's being done, not the network broadcast version.
Oh, yeah, I knew that.
Did you know that that wasn't available?
Well, I didn't know it wasn't available to everybody, but
it's not available to the league office when they make decisions on replay.
Well, they have their own special cameras because they supposedly see things that we don't see.
They got the network. They got the network camera angles.
But they have something. I think they have one or two other cameras. I've heard that in the past where they get to see views that we don't.
But people sitting in the stadium are looking up at the halo and they see something on the in-house version that maybe the people, whoever is doing officiating and making that call to further review, is not getting. And it's that way at all stadiums. And I didn't realize that.
No. Well, I guarantee you, if we're looking at something and we can see it and it's a version that whatever New York is getting and they're not seeing it, they're going to make sure they see that one. Somebody's going to pump it to them.
It's not available to them. I was amazed to hear that. You know, they're going strictly by what they get from the networks, not the in-house. Because, you know, there's an in-house version that goes into the suites and goes into the press box, really. We get to see something that's different.
Who is one of the biggest movie star names you can mention right now off the top of your head? Like, that are known worldwide and has been a movie star forever.
Harrison Ford.
Okay, that's a good guess. Yeah. That ain't who I'm talking about, though.
Well, why not?
Because
I have another
name. Let me just tell you this. This name could possibly be bigger
than Harrison Ford.
Yeah, right. Depending on who you talk to.
Right.
We'll talk about that next. I got a story to tell you. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.